Alfredo. Comes to us all the way from Carolinas. And in his voice, you'll hear that he comes originally from someplace else. But I'm assuming that maybe some of your story that you'll tell. And let's just pray for Alfredo as he comes and gives us the word. Father, we commit this brother to you and all of his ways, Lord God. May they walk according to your paths, Lord Jesus. And may the words of his mouth, the meditation of his heart, Lord God, be pleasing to you as he speaks it forth into our lives. May we be recipients and respectful of what it is that you are wanting to impart into our lives. May the spirit of grace and salvation rain upon us today. And may the spirit of truth also rain its light and its illumination upon our lives. Mm-hmm. We pray this in your name. Amen, brother. Amen.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
It's a great joy being able to be here. I had the opportunity to meet your pastor, Pastor Eric, in the DR and his daughter Olivia this year as we were training and helping to develop the leadership among the Haitians in the DR. I want to make sure this, I'm going to be using this mic. I don't want this to just get a sidetrack. What a great fellowship. What a great time just to worship God here. As we consider our God, our Creator, isn't it that He is great to us? As we consider His ways to serve us, His ways to feed us, His ways to bless us, He is great in every way we see it. Today, I want to share our life, our missionary life, and as I do that, I want to make sure that I'm faithful to the fact that there's some time that we need to be careful with, so I'm on time with you guys. But I'm not by myself. I got a family. I want to introduce to you my family. That was the former IMB prayer cards that we use. If you see, we got three girls, Angela, Ashley, and Allison. Angela is a senior at Washita Baptist University. Ashley is a sophomore at North Greenville University in South Carolina. And Allison, the youngest one, is a junior of Hickory Grove Christian School in Charlotte, North Carolina. And my wife, she's the one that keep us all together, Alexandra. And certainly it's a blessing having her because, I mean, you women have these qualities and skills that God has gave you to keep everything in line, right? So our families are blessed by having you women in our homes and wives. We served in Chile for 15 years, and during those 15 years, our goal or our task was to help churches develop mission, to become mission-minded. But more than becoming mission-minded is rather becoming missional. Sometimes we think that a missionary church is the one that is giving money to Lottie Moon and that is just putting money on the bucket and so on. But rather, God is interested in developing a missional mindset in every one of his disciples. And you and I are disciples. So what is it when it comes to God and his mission? God and his mission. As our brother was talking with these little kiddos here, I was thinking, boy, those kids left with a mission in mind. They know that as soon as they step out of this building, they have to eat the cookie. They know that as soon as they get out of the building, they have to go and find the missionaries, right? He was clear. He was very clear about it. So what is God's mission? And what is it about? So let me just explore through scripture and perhaps allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in such a way that he's clear to us. Because don't expect me to be clear. See, let's begin to say that I wish Brother Eric would be my interpreter today as I was for him in the DR. But I'm trusting the Holy Spirit is going to be interpreting for me, so your heart and mind is going to understand what he wants to convey through what he's saying through me this morning. So when we consider his mission centers around him. His mission centers around him. As I travel around, I find churches struggling about how to do missions. And they want to be busy about doing ministry, but they're not considering God's mission. They're considering being busy, active, but not active in missions. Colossians 1:16 is going to help us a lot just to break ground on this message. Colossians 1:16 basically reads as follows. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and powers or rulers or authorities. And just hear this. All things have been created through him and for him. See, all things were created through him and for him. When I think about this, it says to me that who am I, what I do is nothing that I own. He owns it. How I speak, if I have any skill, if I have any gift, is his. He just has allowed me to use it for his purposes, and so his kingdom can grow. But it's not because I am who I am. It's not because of the school that I went to. It's not because the family I have. It's not because the country where I was born. It's not because I'm a Baptist. It's just because he's God. And he takes pleasure in creating me. He has taken pleasure in creating you. And see, I mean, admitting the fact that he is pleased with Alfredo, that was a hard thing for me to acknowledge. That was hard. I mean, you might hear from the society where you live around, maybe from your family, you might hear different stories, and they might say that you're not capable, that you're not good. I mean, you can hear different kind of stories that lowers your self-esteem. Yet God saying, I created you for a purpose. That means that his purpose is to use you for his glory. Isn't that great? It's for his glory. When I understood this, it helped me to understand that in the kingdom, in ministry, I'm not to please anybody but God. That his scripture is sufficient for me to lead me in his path, and he was going to be forming, shaping in me the person that he wants to use for his purposes. Period. When you start hearing from the society where we live today, that you have to be an achiever, that you have to be individualistic, and you have to go to school. I'm not against all that, but see, it's not about what we do, it's about who we are. It's not about the verb to do, it's about the verb to be. Good English, right? It's about to be who he is in us. And he says that everything, Everything was created through him, or by him, for his glory. Ephesians 1, the whole chapter, in three instances, the Apostle Paul says, in 1:4, says that the Father chose us for the praise of his glorious grace. And later, in verse 7, says, in Christ, we receive redemption for praise of his glorious grace. Again, and in 1:13, he says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit for the praise of his glory. See, it doesn't say, and I know I'm going to get you out of the box here, it doesn't say that he shows us, that he, Christ, redeem us, that he sealed us with the Holy Spirit so we can share the gospel. It says, for his glory. For his glory. Now, let me explain what I'm trying to say. Our role as disciples is to worship him. My role as disciple is to worship him. Worshiping him through every situation, instance that I have in my life. I could be about sharing the gospel, yet I might not be worshiping him. I might be teaching Sunday school, but yet I'm not worshiping him. I'm taking the glory for me. All I'm aiming to is just to gain my own glory, but not his glory. See, as you take a look at your life deep inside, who are you running for? Are you running just so you become more notorious? If you become more and more excellent for people to see how great you are? Or are you making Christ known through the scripture? Big difference. We have the challenge as human beings to make Christ known through every situation that God is going to allow us to get into. You don't have to be a missionary to go overseas. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You just need to be a disciple, period, to make Christ known. Understanding this gets us out of the problem of trying to please people. It's about pleasing him and giving glory to him. Now, let me just show you this picture. This picture is a group of people that we're working with in Cali, Colombia right now. And this church, as we train these churches to become missionals, we're saying the very same thing I'm saying to you. It's about Christ. It's about God. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about trusting that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives and he can use us today. Same way the disciples were used 2,000 years ago. It's about him. Nothing else. It's about him. We also need to understand that God is the center of all. God is the center of all. Sometimes we walk in our lives like I'm the center of everything. You know, marketing is really good about it. You know, on the news or on the TV, you're going to see these four commercials saying, you deserve to buy this car. You know, the brand new car, you deserve it. You have worked hard, you deserve it. And you know, it's really interesting. As we take pictures around with these new cell phones, you take a picture here, you take a picture here, and you go around taking pictures, you know. And everyone wants to come out on the picture well, right? So as soon as you take a picture, usually what we do is we go to the person who's taking the picture and say, can I see the picture? Who are you looking for? Yourself, right? When we open the scripture, many times we're opening the scripture looking what's good for you, but not what glorifies God. Let's see what God has to say to me, but not let's see what I have to obey from him today. We have become very selfish as we approach God. So it's important that we understand when it comes to God's mission that it's about Him, not us. The second aspect of His mission is that His mission targets lostness. His mission targets lostness. Romans 10, 14, 15a, it reads, How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? How? Four questions the Apostle Paul is stating here. Now, this might sound strange to you, but those questions are being asked to the church, to the believers. And those questions just kept being asking every single day. How are we going to send more people? How people without having access to the gospel is going to have access to the gospel? How? How is that going to take place? The reason God has called us to do our work in Latin America is because there's still people out there lost. There's still people out there in their neighborhoods who don't have hope. That simple. See, we as Christians, as we walk in life, you have any problem, you have any situation, you get out of a job or whatever situation, sickness, you got hope. You know who you can talk with, right? And surely He's going to be in control. And let me tell you, there's tons of people out there that live without hope. Without hope. And we're the hope carriers. We're the love carriers. We're the faith carriers to all these people. We have been invited to be part of this great mission. And that's why it's important that this glorifies in. See what's the trend today as we see how people is moving around from Australia, especially from South Asia, from Latin America, from all over the place. You can see that there's a movement of people all over the place. Do you believe that's an accident? Do you believe that people move around just because it's an accident in life? No. Let me tell you a story. When I came to the United States, I was coming to pursue the American dream. My goal was to study computer science at UCLA. That was my goal. That's what I heard. If you study computer science, you're gonna be well off later in life. Yet, deep inside, I was running away from God's calling. So as soon as I arrived in Los Angeles at the airport, my mom was here at the Baptist World Alliance conference. It happened to be that she was here. And as soon as I see, no one knew that was God was calling me to ministry. No one. That was my secret. But as soon as I came just to hug her and say, give her a hug and just say, hey, mom. And usually when you say, hey, mom, how are you doing? How's the United States? Blah, 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 right? The first thing that came out of my mouth was, God is calling me to ministry. Imagine. That was God's plan. He got me out of my safe box, out of my comfort zone, so I could release the news. Later, let's say about 6 months later, I received this wedding invitation. I became the youth pastor for this church in San Gabriel, California, and I received this wedding invitation. And for you, maybe a wedding invitation may not be much to pay attention to, other than you're invited to a wedding. But in my case, it impacted my life. In Colombia, when you're invited to a wedding and you're still part of the family, the front of the and the cards reads as this: Mr. and Mrs. Mario. That was my father's name, Mario Valencia, and children. So whenever you see "and children," that means that I'm invited. I get to go. So it was sad when from time to time you don't see the "and children," so it means you're not going, you're not coming. In this instance, when I got this wedding invitation in Los Angeles, it read as follows: Mr. Alfredo Valencia. Boy, that struck me. At that point, I realized I'm alone. And God whispering to me said, "Boy, that's the way I want you. You and me alone only. You and me alone." I didn't have a family next to me. I didn't have a father who could provide my finances or my needs. And I learned very soon that he was my provider. God the Father was my provider. I learned that. So why I'm sharing this with you? Because as I'm moving forward, I want you to understand that his mission is between you and God. It's personal. Wherever you go, you have the opportunity to find people who is desperate in situations where you just can break in and bring hope to their lives. His mission is about just that, joining him in what he is doing all over the place. Acts 17 reads, "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him, though he is not far from any of us." That's me. He brought me from one place to the United States so I could seek him. You know how many people we got in that condition today in the United States? You know how many people are coming to the United States? Is that an accident? Is it because, let me tell you, is it because we're a great country? It's just because God loves the United States and he has made this country a melting pot of the gospel. It's because he have embraced in the system some forms to welcome people here. So we, foreigners, have the opportunity to find hope here in the United States. It was not an accident that this country was founded in the scripture. It was not an accident. God in his times, marked in such a way that he was going to be using the United States to send missionaries over to other countries and also to receive missionaries, to receive foreigners so they can learn about him. But that same truth is happening in Germany, that same truth is happening in Colombia, in Latin America, and all over the place. When we consider missions today, it's not what the missionary is going from the United States only, it's from everywhere to everywhere. That's how missions is pictured today. So there is a mission that we can engage as long as we make ourselves available. In my job, in the task that God has gave me, one of the challenges that I have is that people think that my objective in life is to train churches, to help churches to become missional and so on. And that's not my objective in life. My objective in life is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my objective. It just happened to be that beside being a disciple, he called me to be in ministry. So I have to be different kind of churches in Latin America, like you, and one day it's like, "Alfredo, what are you doing about my kingdom?" And say, "Well, Father, I'm just training churches. I'm equipping churches. No, he asked me again, Alfredo, what are you doing about my kingdom? And I got it. It should be about making disciples too. So I was say, okay, Lord, just help me. I don't have any problem talking with people, but I have a hard time sharing the gospel. Because sharing the gospel is not something that is in our human flesh. It's not easy. If you have fear, I'm with you. If you have fear, I'm with you. Because it's not easy. We're talking about something divine. So at this time, I was in New York, Newark Airport, and I was flying to Lima, Peru, to one of our leadership meetings. And after being convinced that I needed to make my personal attempts to trust him, I said, okay, Lord, on this trip, I want to make sure that I share the gospel with the person who's going to be sitting to me. By God's grace, on that day, I was upgraded to first class, and very soon I saw people coming into the plane, and then a lady sat next to me. This lady apparently was coming with this big group, and I began to wonder what they're doing here and why they're here. And for obvious reasons, so I was asking her soon later before, I mean, as people keep boarding the plane, do you live in New York? And she said, no, I don't live in New York. So what were you doing in New York? And she said, well, I'm a doctor. And I was here at a pediatrician conference. And who's the other people who's coming with you? He said, well, they're doctors too. So at the plane that day, I believe, might have around 50 doctors heading to back home to Peru. So she shared with me her life, everything that she was doing and so on. We were in about an hour, 45 minutes into her flight. And then soon later, she asked me, Alfredo, what do you do? And I just go, boy, if I say that I'm a missionary, I'm going to turn her down, you know. She might not hear my story. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is very, very smart. I reply, I'm a doctor, too. Oh, so you're a doctor? He said, yes, I'm a doctor. So what kind of doctor you are? I said, I'm a heart surgeon. See, and what do you practice? Say, all over the place. Wherever I go. Can you explain to me? I say, yes, let me explain to you. I find myself in many situations where people allow me to get into their hearts and they share with me their pain, their despair, their anger, their sinful life. And soon later, I have a boss that knows how to heal the heart. And once the heart is healed, I close the heart again. And from that point on, he begins to walk in peace, in love, and in faith. Then she understood what I was talking about. Then she jumped in and said, you know what, let me tell you my story. And for an hour, she shared what was going on with her life. She opened her heart. Hour and a half later, God has intervened in her heart and has healed her heart and has saved it. How can that happen? Brothers and sisters, I believe that we need to understand the times. We need to understand that when it comes to gospel ministry, it involves ordinary people doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality. If we're not intentional about it, we're going to miss tons of opportunities. Tons of opportunities. I have to come to understand in my own life, where are those spots where the fish are biting? Not every spot you're going to find where the fish are biting. You understand what I'm saying? God has placed me in a location. God has placed me in a neighborhood where he's going to allow me to find one spot, two spots, three spots. But for sure, God is active in Buffalo. And he has placed you in a location where you live, where he can show you where the fish are biting. He has placed you there. So, the Holy Spirit is active. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. When I see people that God take us to train in Peru, and I see every one of them, I'm not seeing what they do. I'm seeing what God is capable to do through them. That's what I see, what God is capable to do through them. Number three, his mission flows through his church. His mission flows through his church. And when I say this or understanding this, it means that we have been empowered by him to accomplish the task. We have been empowered. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Who's you? Me. See, but you, Alfredo, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on Alfredo, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Boy, I have been empowered to say what I have to say in the midst of the fear that I might have, my human fear. God, it has empowered me for the task. God has empowered me for the task. Let me explain this to you using this illustration. When I came to Colombia, from Colombia, I came with a Colombian passport. Okay? By God's grace, 7 years later, God allowed me to become a U.S. citizen. So I hold a U.S. passport too. You know what? The first time that I traveled overseas, I was, by nature, because I have traveled with this passport all my life, by nature, I pull out of my pocket the Colombian passport. So I'm sure you have traveled, and you know that those who are foreigners have the long lines, right? But Americans come as U.S. citizens, and the lines are shorter, right? On that day, I was pulling out the Colombian passport. I was getting ready to get into the long wait line. And then I remember, by the way, this is my first time coming back to the United States with my American passport. What not utilizing it? This is my time. This is my opportunity. So I got out of the line, and I went to the short line. You know how many countries this passport has gotten me into, where this passport doesn't get me into? You know that sense of responsibility when I carry this passport? United States of America has empowered me with this passport. So there's some things that I can do with this passport that I'm not allowed with this one. To me, this represents the flesh, and this represents the Holy Spirit. God has empowered me in such a way with the Holy Spirit to stop doing things of the flesh and begin to join him with the things of the Spirit. God has equipped you. God has gave you the ability to make him known, to magnify his name through what you say, through what you do. I mean, everything that we do, even when people are not seeing us, is going to be good for the kingdom. Sooner or later, people is going to know. Sooner people are going to know. The Holy Spirit mobilizes the church at once to be a mission with God, targeting neighbors across the street and also people groups across the globe. When a church is just filled with the Holy Spirit, naturally it's going to get out there on the street. It's not going to remain here within the four walls of the building. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, in a natural way, you want to share, you want to just tell people about Jesus. And it doesn't mean, doesn't mean the how, but it's who is speaking through you. That's what really matters. Who is speaking to you? I mean, for me to speak and preach to you guys in English, quite a challenge. Quite a challenge. But guess what? I know that God has anointed me with my English to say what he has to say and for you to pay attention twice, because my accent might be hard for you to understand, right? So you can hear God's message. And so he's going to continue to grow. So once you step out of this building, you understand in his word based on the scripture that it's not about you, it's about him. We were celebrating Lord's Supper today. Great opportunity that we had this morning. I don't know if you have considered the fact that there were many people, many countries, so many, many enriched people groups that could have celebrated a Lord's Supper this morning, but they couldn't. They couldn't. Because there's no testimony yet in those places. We as a church need to open our eyes as we continue to be church. We as a church, we need to get on our knees and ask God, how can we join him in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? We need to ask him, because there's nothing we can create. It's been created already. And wherever you go, whatever you do, it's about him. It's about him. God is at work every single day. Every single day. Every single second. Just imagine this. How many people you know that don't have Jesus yet? How many? Raise your hand. There's people that you know that don't have Jesus' name yet. We all know people that don't have Jesus yet, right? There's your mission field. There is your mission field. You don't need to go overseas unless God is calling you to go overseas. Your mission field is here. God can use you here. God can use you here. God is empowering people in Latin America to understand that there's people overseas that need Jesus, that there's people overseas that are needing hope, the same hope that you have. And four, and last, his mission has gifted you for the task. His mission, God, has gifted you for the task. Brothers and sisters, we got a task to accomplish. But you're not an orphan. God gave you a name. He declared you his child. He declared you his disciple. And he has gifted you for the task. He has gifted you for the task. 1 Corinthians 7:7, it says, I wish that all of you were as I am. Apostle Paul is saying this. But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another one has that. Isn't that amazing? But let me just go farther. You got gifts, you got talents, you got hobbies, you got expertises, right? You got a career, you got a family, You got a car? You got a house? What else do you have? God has gifted us for the task. How are we using what he has gave us for the purposes of his kingdom? When you die, certainly you're going to be going to heaven if you have asked God, asked Jesus to be your Savior. But all that he gave you is not going to be coming with you. It's going to stay. Maybe there's going to be some smart people like a church that is going to utilize all your belongings for the purposes of the kingdom. Let me ask you something. Why waiting until or after you die? Why not now? Why not now? Why waiting? You're not going to be taking anything with you. You know, it's really sad as I travel and as I visit churches, and this is real, brothers and sisters, 80% of our churches are sitting on the pews. 80%. If you consider, I mean, how happy would you be if 80% of our U.S. Army is sitting on a pew? How good that's going to be for United States defense. Not good, right? But brothers and sisters, disciples' place is not the pew. The disciples' place is the mission out there. That's where we belong. Here, when we come here to this building, is to be equipped to gain more tools, to be and to praise him and to celebrate him. When we come here, we come for celebration, equipping purposes, but once we step out of this building, it's for mission purposes. That's why God has allowed us to come to a place like this. 80% of the people is sitting in the pews. We have to understand with my wife, that our mission is to mobilize 80% of the people who are sitting in the pews. Through global focus, we take churches step by step so everyone finds their place in missions. So every person understands that they belong to the mission field, not to a church pew. We all belong where lostness is located at. We don't belong to this building. We belong to the mission field, brothers and sisters. And that's important. Every disciple must believe that he or she is God's instrument to communicate Christ's message from its own location, whether it's local or cross-cultural. This girl that you see on the picture is a girl who's serving in South Asia. She's from Chile. She's one of those that God has allowed us to mobilize or to facilitate for her to go there. Now, when it comes to mobilization process, there's three elements key for us to understand this. Understanding that we belong out there, there's three elements key. Number one, biblical truth. If you're not here on the scripture, you don't understand what I'm saying. Even if you're a pastor who speaks fluent English would say it to you, you're not going to understand it. Because it's when we get into the biblical truth that we understand why he's speaking to us. Number two, biblical truth must take us to embrace it, make it our own, personalize it in such a way that I see me as instrument of God to fulfill his promises, to fulfill his kingdom here. And last, it will take me to the practical implementation to be used around the job where you're working at right now, around the skills that you have, around the gifts that you have, around every opportunity that God is giving you. Let me finish saying this. You see these pictures? And I want you to pray for Latin America, for the great opportunities that God is opening so more people can go to the mission field. But more than ever, we need to pray for our church in the United States of how we are going to be taking the opportunity as come election day comes so we can share God's message. That's a great topic. People are waiting on a president to rescue us, the same way Israel in his time was waiting for a king, right? And you know the king is not going to resolve the problems, people's heart. It's God, the one who's going to resolve our problems in the United States. We can have either president, but it's God, the Father, the one who's going to rescue us from our condition. Let me close saying this, brothers and sisters. Number one, thank you. Thank you. I became a 9B missionary by God's grace. That was God's idea. That was God's idea. For 15 years, we served because you gave. Thank you very much. Your dollars, God's dollars, Lord Moon dollars, went far. But I see some here with gray hair. Okay? Nothing to complain about your gray hair. But many of you were giving back when in the 70s, 60s, 50s. And foreign mission board missionaries came to Latin America. And they came to my country. And where I became a Christian, it was a First Baptist Church Cali, where there were many foreign missionary board missionaries. So the gospel came because of the faithfulness and obedience of those who gave in the 50s, 60s, 70s. So I received the gospel. Can you see the circle? And see what God is having us doing today. Does your CP dollars work? Yes. Thank you. But just 6 months ago, or no, last year, I was convicted by God that we needed to step away from the IMB. And with this, I'm going to close. The IMB offered a volunteer retirement incentive. In the meantime, we were preaching in Latin America, and people were saying to us, as we were challenging to trust him and in their finances, they were saying, Alfredo, for you to say that God provides and having faith and so we can become missional churches is easy. And I just go, why is that? Because you got a secure salary every month. You got a secure salary. Your salary is secure. You don't understand what we go through. That really struck me. What we heard from our nationals, brothers, VRI, we understood, my wife and I understood that we need to step aside so we can set an example. Missions is about trusting him. It's not about what we know, but who we trust. Missions is about obedience. It's about obedience. Missions is about allowing him to use us in ways that we have not ever imagined. For us, missions is an opportunity to join God where some people hasn't gone yet. For that, thank you. But there's more to do and to accomplish. God bless you, church.